Bereishis chapter 8. So as we discussed, in this chapter, and here the beginning of the chapter at least is a good place to break something, to make a break, is the beginning of the end, so the end of the Mabel. And the way it starts is, Vayizkar Elim Esnech, God, Shem Elohim, remembered Noach and all the animals which were with him, and Vayavar Elohim Ruach HaLoretz Vayishoyki HaMayim. And God made a wind pass over the earth, and the waters calmed down. And it continues to say that the springs of the Tehom and the windows of the heaven were closed up, and therefore the rain stopped from the heaven. Now I want to talk a second about this language, because this is important to notice in the story of the Mabel. We remember in Bereishis chapter 1, there was the story of the separation of the dry land from the Tehom, basically, which was a, as we understood it, some kind of mushmash between all the dry land and wetland. And then there was a specific command, a specific day, Vayikra Elohim, Yikovu Amayim Metachas Hashemayim Al Mokemecha, the waters from below the heavens should all be gathered in one place, and the land should be dry. Now, and then before that, we also had the Rakia, which was separating between the waters above and the waters below. So there's two ways in which we're not living in the situation of One is, the, as we discussed, the vertical way. There is the Shrekia and the Shemaim, which separate the waters above from the waters below and cause dry ear, as though to speak, to appear in between. That might be even the Ruach Elohim, Rachefes Lapnayim, which was one sort of, maybe Rachefes means something like mixed into the whole thing. And then by creating the heavens, there's also this space for the wind or for the air in between. And secondly, there is a special action of creation which created the difference, the horizontal difference between the dry land and the oceans. Now, at least one of the narratives of the story of the Mabel is that since the people who were living on the dry land, of course on the Eretz, which was once called Yabusha because it's dry, have sinned, or God thought that they were not worthy of continuing to exist. So what he destroyed was precisely this. This is very interesting. Why precisely this? There might be other things that he couldn't destroy. Seems like this is like a basic thing, which we can still see. It seems to be somewhat hanging in the balance. The fact that the ocean has a certain limit and the dry land has a certain limit. Even the fact that the heaven has a certain limit and there's water. I mean, we have rain, or seems to fall from the heaven, although not always, or with a kind of limit, so it doesn't destroy the earth, but sometimes there's a flood, and then the waters from above, so to speak, overcome the distinction between the above and below, and then the world is destroyed. In the same way, the kind of limit that was created where the waters are in the ocean are sometimes movable. So these are the parts of creation which seem to be not fully fixed, or at least until this day, we still have floods and the ocean can overflow and things like that, move the beach, this place where the ocean meets the dry land, it still moves sometimes. So in any case, it's very clear that the story, and as we read in the previous chapter, was that in B'yom HaZeh, the day that this Mabel started, Nivku Kol Mayim Tehom Rabbah, so the wellsprings of the Tehom, remember the Tehom is literally this situation where everything is mixed in, or it's like we could speak of somehow, like under the ground, maybe there's still some water. Of course, there's groundwater. There's water under the ground, which is also being kept by this command of Yikov HaMayim Tachas HaShemayim Mokem Echad V'Sirei Yabusha. And now it was split, so both from above, or we could say both from horizontally and from vertically, the limits, the borders broke open, and that's what caused the world to sort of stop existing as a habitable place for land animals. And therefore, corresponding to that, when God remembered Noach and everyone in him and the taiva with him, and this is of course another important thing to notice, there might be a distinction between like one version where there is. He said that the Mabel will be for 40 days, and then after 40 days, it just finishes. And here, there seems to be a much more interesting story where sort of the world just broke, or God caused the world to break, and this whole distinction between water and dry land broke. And now, it's like we need a new recreation. We need God to remind himself about the world and like sort of find a new reason why to even have this continue to exist. And some, it doesn't say why. It says that he remembered Noach. It doesn't say why. Maybe this might, and we can imagine that it has to do with the bris that he promised him in the beginning. And we have the language of Zechiras bris sometimes. There God remembers a covenant that he made, so sort of to speak. Since he promised Noach that he will not stay forever, so he had to remember and he had to recreate the whole world. And then it says very clearly, this might be literally the Ruach Elohim from the second verse in Bereshis. And that caused, again, the waters to dry up and the wells, Mayanot Tahom, the wellsprings of the Tahom to dry up. And therefore, the same way, and somehow this wind also created the boundary between heaven and earth. And therefore, the world is back in reality. So that's an important thing, pattern to notice about the story of the Mabul, at least one understanding of it. Now we have the continuation of this chapter continues about this, and also this refers to what we discussed, what we read and yesterday in the previous chapter about what happened in the Mabul. And this is something also interesting, which is not really mentioned in Sheshes Mebereshes, but there are, of course, besides for this just being dry land, there are also mountains and tall mountains. And these tall mountains are still under the heaven. They're not reaching to heaven, but they seem to be an important part of creation, like there should have been a story of the creation of the mountains. And when we read yesterday in the previous chapter is that the waters have so much overcome the earth that even the mountains, which are, so to speak, the safest place, right, because they're high up, so they're the furthest from the sea, they also were covered by water. And that's, of course, a natural consequence of the entire boundary between water and dry land disappearing. So it's saying like there was nothing left. There was not even a mountain sticking out. And this is like an important point for the whole continuation of the story, which we read here, which is that the water slowly receded. And this slowness, I think, has to do exactly with this, that this was the whole world breaking. And it's not like it just like was a big rainstorm and then stopped and then things dried up. There was the whole world. According to this story, we could think about the reality, what it means, but in any case, according to this story, the whole world, the whole boundary that keeps the water from overcoming the earth all the time broke, and therefore it takes a long time. Maybe this also is a thing for us to think how long it took for the second day of creation to happen. Of course, it's described as one day, but maybe it's a long process. At least maybe the second time it was a long process, and we have literally a number. It said it took 150 days. Of course, we had same way. These are the same 150 days, right? The 150 days was the time of the Mabul where the waters were overcoming everything. And at the end of those 150 days, the waters started receding. They only started to recede. And then at the end of those 150 days, the Taiva came to rest on a mountain on the 17th day of the seventh month, which is exactly 5 months after it began, after exactly this thing began, the breaking of the limits of the boundaries began, that Mabul, the Taiva, rests on a mountain. So, of course, this is exactly what we would expect if the main point or the highest, extremist level of the Mabul is that the highest mountain is covered, and apparently Ararat was the highest mountain known in this area or wherever it is. And therefore, the Taiva rests on the mountain, although below there's still water. And then we describe how it took another time, another 2 months, till the 10th month, where you can even see the tops of the mountain. So it seems like the Taiva comes to rest, but the Taiva is like a boat, so it's somewhat in the water. So we still can't see the tops of the mountains until we see them. It takes some even more time. So this like coming to rest on top of the mountain seems to be an important point in the story. And then now we have and the continuation of this, if you want to, like, just I'm going to skip. So we see the end of this is the last step is, again, it takes another few months, which is, and then not one more year, in the beginning of the 601st year of Noach's life, in the first day of the first month, the waters were entirely dried, and Noach opens the Taiva and he sees that. This is another important step. There's always like a seeing step over here. And then even later, in the second month, on the 27th day, the earth was entirely dry. So there seems to be a difference between Charvu HaMayim and Yavashor. It's like two levels of being dry. It seems like, again, this is all getting back to like just getting back to see some dry land somewhere is like a big accomplishment here. Okay. Now in between, and this story probably seems to have happened in between, but there's another like has its own logic, has its own separate thing. And it starts at that it happened at the end of 40 days. So of course this refers according to any simple reading, to the 40 days which was promised in the first, the second, or in the command where Moach was told to go into Teva. It said will be imable for 40 days. And the end of those 40 days, so here we don't have the story of Ayizkar Elohim, that whole story that we had in the beginning of this chapter, isn't in this version of the story, in this part of the story. We have Noach opens the window, again, a little different than later, where it talks about Noach taking off the mechseh atayv, the covering of the teva. Here there's a window. We didn't really have a story of him making a window. Of course, there's readings that say that some a window, but apparently there was a window. And he sends out a bird. Now there's three stories. There's a three-level story about this, and we have to understand what it means. But the most general story is that he seems to send the bird to see if the bird will have where to go, to see like what the bird will be doing. And that's like his way of like scouting out the earth. And I think also this relates somehow to the creation story where birds, it says, birds have like an important role, like an important place in the structure of the cosmos, as we discussed in Bereshit chapter 1, which is that they live on, they reproduce on earth. They're like, they don't reproduce in the air, but they fly in the air. So in some sense, they show you that you can fly in the air. It's not all full of water, all the way up to the mountains. And also, they have to rest. They have to come down to the earth, and they also could fly. So obviously, they could act as good scouts. Birds are always considered, were always considered traditionally, a kind of even for like omens, like of hashmayim yolichet akol. Bird can fly, and even if you can't walk, the bird can find it. So there's like two different birds. There's the oirev, the raven, which goes, and it doesn't say, it goes back and forth until this Yavoshia Samayim, which is the end, which is the last step, right? But it seems like the Erev wasn't actually useful. It's not clear what it actually means, this Yotzei Vashov, but it's not, was not useful. And then he sent the Yoina and says clearly why he sent her, to see if the waters have been come easier, Hakalu Amayim, if there's less water. Now the Yoina comes back and she doesn't have where to go. So he brings her back. He waits another 7 days. This is interesting because just like before the Mabul, there were 7 days and then 40 days. And here after the 40 days, there's waiting another 7 days. And he sends the Yoina again. And she comes back and brings him a leaf of an olive in her mouth. So this is unlike the Erev, which just goes back and forth. The Yoina also seems to like serve Noach. It brings him something. And this is to him to know that there is already some leaves growing already on the earth. So the world isn't anymore entirely submerged in water. There's trees, they're working. And apparently, according to the logic of the story here, it's not like every tree. We never discussed plants in the whole story. We can assume that if there's a huge flood, then the plants also will get destroyed. But what explicitly says was only kodesh shiru ha'chaim ba'apav, only living things, things that breathe. It doesn't say anything about plants. So, of course, we see here that the plants were also destroyed, but that's not to the extent that there would be no plants to regrow or something like that. And then, 7 days later, he sends the Yoina and she doesn't return. So that's very clearly corresponds to what the first time he sent her, and she couldn't find anywhere to rest. So she couldn't even like a branch where to rest and to bring him some part of the branch. And the third time, she doesn't even return because apparently she has where to go and nest, and there's nothing for her to find in the Teva anymore. So in some sense, the Yoina was the first to leave the Teva. And after that, all the land animals, or maybe all the birds along with her. I don't know. Now, and the end of this chapter, and again, maybe we should make some kind of division here also, which is an explicit speech, an explicit command from Elohim to Noach. And the explicit command is leave the Teva. You, your wife, your children, everyone with you, should the animals, you should all leave the Teva. So, and this is interesting because, right, you would assume that you don't need a command to leave the Teva. It's a question, why would you even need this? Works according to the logic, again, the kind of logic that we have in these passages where everything is by command, everything is Hashem says something and it happens. There isn't like anything we could discuss whether this is meant to be literally, like Noach literally was waiting for the command to leave or not. But for sure, the way the story is written is that there's a command to go into the Teva, although again, if there's a Teva and you see the water coming, maybe you don't need a command for that either. But there's a command like for each step. And this is very much referring to the story of the first chapter of Bereshis, where that's the logic, that's how the world works. And the second part of this command, which is very important, is that he also gives them a command, or maybe a blessing. Later we'll see it clearly as a blessing, but here it seems to be a command, which is to reproduce on the earth. So again, before they were not on the earth, but they were on the water, maybe like on the Tahom even, because there's no earth and water separated. And now that there is back out, that they can reproduce on the earth, and this is similar to what we had in the 6 days of creation, where all the animals were given a blessing or explicit words that give them the power, the ability to reproduce. And this was re-given to them now. So then we have the implementation of this. So Noach leaves and talks on the animals leave. They all leave the Taif. Okay, now really the chapter should have finished here. I think I will make a stop here and talk about the next part tomorrow, because I don't really see any way in which I can justify the chapter stopping right here after the Karbonas that Noach brought. Of course, these are the reason for the chapter is sort of because it's like the first time where God responded and said, okay, he will not bring a Mabel anymore. But we have to read that separately. So I will do that tomorrow.